You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 317 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week we have two great topics for you. First, we'll be talking about how scammers use some advanced deepfake techniques to steal $25.6 million from a multinational firm. And then we're going to finish up with the news about the Canadian government, who is trying to ban flipper zeros in order to prevent auto thefts. Yet another story about a government trying to ban something they know nothing about.
We're from the government. Trust us.
Yes. Please trust us.
It'll be fine.
Yes. But first, I'd like to introduce our always amazing co-host, Kevin Johnson.
Always amazing.
You're always amazing,
man. I've got a list of people that tell you you're wrong.
Well, so, I'm going to tell that list of people that they are wrong because you are amazing. So take it as a compliment, man.
I don't know what to do with myself. I'm home for 2 weeks, and I'm like, what do I do?
And you don't know what to do?
Okay. Yeah, because I'm traveling so much. I'm like, So, yeah. Okay,
you're lucky.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I say you're lucky because I have not. You're lucky you are traveling because I have not traveled this year. Knock on wood. I don't know why. It's weird. I should be traveling, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So,
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yes.
So where's going to?
Is what?
Is it worth going to? I was trying
the
to think
city
if
itself?
I've ever, yeah, I'm trying to think yeah. if I've ever been to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a great city.
I was talking to the Old West chapter of it. Yeah. So they're good. Yeah. They seem good people. That's a tangent. So
Yeah. Well, if you like chili, so they have this thing called Skyline Chili.
We had Cincinnati. A Skyline Chili down here. It was same as like the, because it's a franchise, right? Or
yeah, out of Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's what they're known for. Yeah. So anyway, if you like chili, that is the place to go in Cincinnati. But
okay.
I digress.
I will say that I went to Skyline Chili and I never went back because I wasn't really impressed.
No.
Now that I've pissed off all of Cincinnati.
Yes, you have. Congratulations. So this deepfake thing that went on, this is a fascinating story. So I think it's kind of the beginnings of, this is the, I'd say one of the most advanced kind of deepfake attacks that I've seen, like at least in the news, which is interesting.
I'll agree with that.
So what happened was, I guess somebody was pretending to be the CFO of this company and they actually deepfaked the CFO based on previous videos that were publicly available for this person. And they literally launched a video chat. I'm not sure if it was a Zoom or like a FaceTime with this, this person that worked in their finance department. And that video was so convincing that they transferred $25.6 million to these different accounts. And that's just crazy.
I'm struggling with this one. And here's why I'm struggling with it. Really?
Really?
And the reason I'm saying it is, every bit of the articles I've read multiple articles.
Yeah,
and you got to weed out. Okay, this site publishes it and then these other sites syndicate it or whatever and they republish it and everything else that. But every article that I've read has had to correct the story in one or more ways. Right? Like, well, the Hong Kong police has arrested six people in association with this. Then the update says, no, they've arrested six people that have done this type of scam. Right? Like, every time you dig into it a little bit more. Now, I want to be clear. What they're describing is absolutely possible, right? Like, we know the technology exists. We know, we can build him better or whatever, right? I just, honestly, I don't buy it on this one. I don't know why. I can't.
You think it's a fake story? Or do you think, really?
I think the guy actually transferred $25.6 million. I think the guy actually fell for a social engineering attack. I think the guy actually screwed up big.
Huh.
I have not seen any evidence that shows that, because the articles I've read, it's not that they just deep faked the CFO, they deepfaked a meeting with multiple people.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where you start to get, because I'll tell you right now, I'm the CEO of Secure Ideas, right? Head nerd. If somebody wanted to deepfake me, there is definitely enough video of me out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
This podcast. There's absolutely enough video to fake my voice, to fake my movements, whatever, you know. But then when you start to say, okay, I want a meeting with six people in it that are all from the company and mm-hmm. all deepfaked correctly and all set up correctly. Now you start getting to the point where I'm thinking, really? Especially since that's not necessary.
It is a little bit extreme, but right. That's a lot of money we're talking about too.
It is a lot of money, but at the same time, it's an unnecessary step. If they just deepfaked the CFO and had the CFO do a video call with the guy and say, hey, and I say mm-hmm. guy, I thought I read somewhere that it was a guy that did it. I'm not assuming.
Yeah.
But you know that one of the signs of lying is the sheer amount of extraneous details that aren't necessary. And this story seems to have a bunch of extraneous details that aren't necessary. And every article has to be edited. Now, having said that, I don't think it matters if it's a real story or not. And the reason I don't think it matters if it's a real story or not is, one, we're never going to prove it, right? There's no,
yeah,
right? Even if the guy got on a Zoom call, we can pretend it was a deepfake Zoom call. But we can also pretend, I mean, I don't know how you can prove this is a deepfake other than as an excuse to make clickbaity headlines. Having said that, I think it's important for people to understand the risk that really does exist. And let's forget deepfakes, voices, right? We were just having a conversation internally here at Secure Ideas this morning about doing voice identification and what is the risk of deepfake faking that. And the answer is it's pretty high, right? I think one of the people said that, you know, they had looked at a service and it was $5 a month to deepfake your own voice, right? Like you go in, you train it, and then it just plays back stuff for you. I'm not sure why you'd want to deepfake your own voice, but let's go with it, right? I think this is a risk, and this is where you start to get into the exact same thing we've been telling people for ever. Like, have some out-of-band verification mechanism. Like, the one person should not be able to approve a $25.6 million transfer.
No, that's a failure in process.
Exactly. And so to me, the bigger issue is, hey, this is a problem. You need to fix this. And the problem is not deepfake. The problem is social engineering. Your process allowed one person to transfer way too much money. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I would like to focus. That's because the deepfake just is an example of why the risk will remain. The deepfake isn't the problem. I think I'm saying that.
That's right. A great point. Yeah, that's a great point, because this could have happened through a phishing email. This could have happened through the phone. This could have happened through any other social engineering technique. This is just another way of doing an attack like this. And of course, it gets the headlines, because that's what everybody is talking about now, is deepfake, especially after the Taylor Swift deepfake thing that, you know, was, you know, viral and all that stuff. So I think it's interesting. And the video angle to me is especially if you're talking about multiple people deepfaked in a meeting, and the coordination that would take to have like conversations and. Do you remember the scene from the movie True Lies where Arnold Schwarzenegger has the tape recorder and he's like faking the shadowy guy in the corner? Like, that's what I go back to of like,
well, and then, you know, that's and bluntly, that's one of the reasons why I doubt this idea of a multi-person meeting that real time was faked and interacted with and stuff like that. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but do you have video evidence of this?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a recording, a screenshot? Do you, like, what evidence do you have? And you're right, that guy could be just making it up saying,
let's be clear.
I don't want to get fired, so.
Let's be clear. I own Secure Ideas with two other people. And if I was tricked into transferring any amount of money that had a million after it, I'm just deep fake, man.
Yeah.
I
wasn't me.
I was on Zoom call and all of you people were there and I vetted you and you had the right answers, and, you know, like all of this stuff. And I think back to, you know, last week I had to wire money out of my bank account to another account, and I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. Da, 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 da. And they got to call me to verify that it's okay. So I get a call. Now, the bank, they actually did a really good job of setting this up. Like when you do the wire, it literally puts in the portal that you're using, we're going to call you. Mm-hmm. Before we call you, we'll send you a notification through the portal that we're about to call you so that you can vet it. The call is going to come from this number. And oh, by the way, they're going to have this code that they give you. Like all of this stuff.
That's awesome.
Right? And then they're like, and we're going to vet you. So when I answer the phone, right? Like I answer the phone and it's immediately a person. Like it's not, like I've had that, like Delta, when I automated. Call Delta to do something, I'll get the automated call back and it'll say, well, wait, transfer you now. This was a human being answered the phone, maybe a really good deep fake. And the security question they asked me, which I am sure is one that I answered when I signed up my account, but I don't remember doing it. And I do want to be clear that my answer is not a person's name. Okay. Like I did not answer the question correctly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I know the secret answer I gave and I used that. But it struck me because the question was your first kiss, which seemed like a very weird question, which is probably why I picked it out of the drop down.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, because I think it's a weird question.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me that way back when, you know, when I was 42 and got my first kiss ever. Hey, I was thinking back to who my first kiss actually was, right? And not only is it not secret, but she, and I'm not saying it. I don't know why I'm not saying it because it's literally not the answer. Maybe because I think she might listen to this and that'd be a problem. And I don't know. Weird. I don't know, okay. But I feel uncomfortable saying the name. The name was one of five girls in my class that had the same name. So like it's a common name for my age. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
And so it would be a horrible secret question. But when you start thinking about vetting people, and this wasn't just a tangent I have. It's relevant. Mm-hmm. This is where we get into, what is it? Somebody just posted an article about it. And I want to say they called it the human code or the human password. And it's, you should have some type of code word or, like, I know that when I was a kid, and I'm talking, you know, when I was a kid, Adam Walsh was kidnapped, right? And right, which started Unsolved Mysteries indirectly. But when that happened, everybody was afraid of kidnapping. I mean, not that we're not afraid of kidnapping now, but, you know, the risk is blown way out of proportion for stranger danger type kidnapping. We all know that now. But we had a code word that if somebody had to pick me up at school, if somebody had to, if we were somewhere and it was Coca-Cola. I don't know why I remember that. I'm 50. I'll be 51 in a couple of weeks. And I still remember that if you ever want to trick me into going with you because my parents told you to pick me up, just say Coca-Cola to me.
I'm writing this down now.
Yeah. Yeah. But this goes back to like that process, right? There should have been some out of band vetting.
Yeah.
There should have been some type of, okay, you know what? If a CFO calls you, this is how you know it's real. And this is the process. And oh, by the way, still go over here and, you know, do this thing, whatever. So yeah. I don't know. I think this was a failure in process, even if deepfakes were involved. But I do doubt the deepfake story. Maybe it's just because I'm a jerk.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a legit thought. I mean, that it could have been made up for sure. But to your point about the kind of shared like family password, I mean, that might have been something that I put up there on Twitter. But that is a great idea, is to have...
And
you know,
now that you give it, I'll
this
be so
shared
embarrassed.
Password of Coca-Cola, right? That everybody knows to, you know, if there is an emergency situation, right? That you get a phone call from your kid, they're in a car accident or something, you know, it takes a second to like, you know, what's
What's code?
What's code? Yeah. I mean,
and I understand, like, I've talked to people about this, and they're like, well, you know, like in your example, they're in a car wreck and they're upset. And they're, yeah, you're right. They are. But if you say, what is the code, and the reaction they have is going to tell you whether or not they know
it will.
Even if they don't remember the code, like,
right,
oh man,
because it's
adrenaline, blah, 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 whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You'll know exactly.
Yeah. So that to me, that is where it becomes, there has to be those processes. And those processes have to be developed in advance. Like, you can't figure out during the emergency what was the process for this, right? So 25.6 million. Dude, we might be in the wrong business.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Because I know I could call somebody and fake stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Damn ethics. So,
are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So let's move on to talk about our poor Flipper Zero. The Canadian government is trying to ban the Flipper Zero because they believe that it is a source of car thefts, or it's the device that's causing car thefts in Canada. And first of all, there's a great article we'll link in the show notes from Ars Technica that goes in kind of some detail about how the Flipper Zero actually works. And we've covered this on the show before. It's a nifty little wireless device that can do all kinds of things, like change the TVs in a bar or a restaurant. It can intercept various types of, you know, NFC, different types of, you know, short range communication. And it's really a tool to learn about wireless technology, but also pen testers use it for legitimate work and on, right? Well, Canada has decided that this device and others that haven't really been named, but I think security professionals can know which devices they're talking about, right? HackRF and some other types of devices. They're just saying we're banning them. And what's funny about the whole thing is that the Flipper Zero, while in some older cars, it can do some, you know,
was it 1992?
Lock bypass, but it's like a Honda and some other brand, but like you have to be in close proximity with the key fob and like there's all these caveats, right? It's not like you just take a Flipper Zero and then the car opens and you're driving off with it. Like,
I wish it was. I don't remember my keys all the time.
If you could, right? But it's basically being picked on as, oh, because it's a hacking device, we're just going to go ahead and ban it. And they don't really know what the device is. They just hear it like in the media and like, oh, Flipper Zero. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. Ban. So
I'm trying really hard not to curse. I'm trying not to give us the explicit label again. I personally believe that any politician that says, hey, we have a problem and here's how I'm going to fix it. I'm going to name this random technology and say, we're going to ban it. We should be allowed to just immediately set that politician on fire. Like, just period. Here's what this politician is doing. My very first question is this an election year in Canada?
Good point.
Obviously, this is a soundbite. Like, I'm doing something. I'm fixing my election needs. Because they're not fixing the problem. I actually replied to the minister of whatever, of stupid ideas and dumb shit. Because I think that's his official title. Minister of I'm a moron. But, okay, there's the explicit tag. Sorry,
thank you.
It's all right. I really tried.
The Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada Agency.
Yeah, bullshit.
Of Canada.
That can't be his title because he's too dumb to hold that title. Period. There is, and he gets to pick. I'm going to let the minister of dumb ideas choose which of these cases it is. It is either that he's too stupid to hold the position he has. That's one option. Or the second option is, in my opinion, he's so unethical that he's willing to pretend to solve a problem just for his own election because it's clickbaity and auto manufacturers donate to his campaign. Because the real problem here is we're not holding the people who make the faulty things liable. We're complaining about tools.
Yeah.
You want to complain that people are able to steal cars? Figure out how they're stealing the cars and tell the car manufacturers they got to fix that. Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, it's a real simple answer. If you're an insurance company that offers auto insurance, you tell your members, your customers, that you won't insure theft for that car because it's fundamentally flawed.
Well, that's what happened with Hyundais and Kias, remember?
Exactly.
Like, the insurance companies threatened to
And how fast did Hyundai and Kia fix the problem?
They fixed it quick.
Right.
Yeah.
But instead, we're going to stand on stage because we can get a news bite and we're all talking about this moron, right? God, it pisses me off. So, like I said, here's his choices. He's too stupid to hold the job, or he knows this isn't going to fix the problem, and then he's just evil. Right? Like, one of the two might be a blend. Yeah. He might be evilly stupid. And this is why Scott's happy he's not in this episode, because we're making him a traitor because Canada doesn't have a First Amendment. I don't know. Something, right? And let me be very clear for anybody thinking that we're just picking on Canada. DC has plenty of these morons.
Yes.
Would here you in like the some? US.
Right? Would like, Canada I, like more? We can give you ours.
No issue. We'll trade. This is... And here's why this makes me so angry. When I was a kid, I actually thought becoming a politician. Now that I was young and stupid. Yeah. I mean, I'm still stupid. I'm just not young anymore. You're
definitely not young.
I actually thought about being a politician. And in my head, look, I watched Schoolhouse Rock. I know how a bill becomes a law, right? Like, I could sing the song, You Don't Want Me To. But I thought about it from a perspective of, man, I could really help people. I could make a difference. I could, do good. And here is a minister of jackassery that they have the ability to do good. And instead, they're focusing on something that, in my opinion, is solely so that they can get news headlines to help their reelection. Yeah. And I don't know that I'm right. I you know what I mean? Because they're doing something, they're not doing something useful. And in my mind, the minute you have the ability to do something useful and you waste that ability to do something for attention, you're low. Hmm. You might as well pretend to be the inventor of Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was making fun of Craig Wright, the liar plagiarist. But I
got it.
Right, because of his COPA case going on right now. But total tangent. He just irritates me. But I really think that's important, is this dude had the opportunity to do something that actually helped his constituents, actually helped the people of Canada, helped the world, right? Like, and instead thought, you know what? Flipper Zero is popular. There's headlines all over the place. Yep. We should ban it. Screw yes. you, hippie.
Let's ban hobbyist devices. I mean, that's not the that's not the first time we've heard that.
No, of course it's not. And this is even, because I know, I was actually talking to somebody earlier and they're like, you're going to make this about the Second Amendment. I'm like, no, I'm not. This is just stupid. This has nothing to do with fundamental rights. This has everything to do with a politician who has the ability to move the needle screwing the pooch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry. And I guarantee you, if we look into it, auto manufacturers are contributors to this person's thing. And I know that's, I'm not sure I'm right, but I bet you I am.
It's a good assumption.
Yeah.
It's a fair assumption.
Because that's how they could actually solve the problem. And they're not doing it. Sorry, you ranty. This pisses me off.
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll get Scott's opinion
next week.
Next
he's
week.
Available.
The actual
By the way,
Canadian,
to be clear, mm-hmm. the actual Canadian is not available because he's busy, not because of this story. We joked about that.
He didn't be like, I'm out. Yeah. Not talking about this.
And let's be clear, we've had stories where Scott or I or you have said, like, we just had it, a couple weeks ago, you put a story out and I said, I can't talk about that.
We've talked about the Canadian government.
And Scott's been involved.
Just as much, just like we have with the U.S. government.
I don't know if that's true, because the U.S. government really does screw stuff up a lot.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, yeah.
By the way, total tangent. Did you see the Montana National Guard poster honoring one of their members that had Nazi soldiers in the background?
No. I did not see that.
The Montana National Guard put out a poster, and it's this dude. And my understanding is this is a guy who's in the Montana National Guard. He has a tradition in his family of being in the military and being in the National Guard. And he's posing full uniform, holding a picture of what supposedly is his father. When his father, that's awesome. I really do think that's awesome. And whoever built the poster and the advertising, and there's multiple forms of it.
No.
So this isn't one type. In my opinion, they obviously went out to Google and said, World War II soldier. And they grabbed the first picture that looked neat. And
it's
literal Nazi soldiers in the background. I want to be very clear. I am not in any way saying that the Montana National Guard are Nazis. Nor am I saying this dude, who I don't even know his name, is a Nazi. It's a literal picture from World War II of Nazis walking through like a forest. And it's like,
well,
what are you thinking?
You got to be careful what you grab from a Google image search, apparently. Yeah,
this is obviously, they used a marketing company that has never been in the military.
That's awful. Yeah. That is just awful.
Total tangent, but it made me laugh, so I wanted to share.
We'll keep it in, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have time for today, Kevin. This is a great discussion. Always good to get your rants out. Use this podcast
somewhere.
As an outlet for your anger towards the U.S. and the Canadian government.
I don't do therapy. I do this podcast.
See? I know. I love it. We'll keep that going. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private.
Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.